You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. It's 6/24/21. Well, gold certainly has had a little bit of a fallback, a setback, if you will. What is the significance of it? Was it a result of the dreaded quadruple witching hour, or is it something more fundamental? What are your thoughts? I'd like to know. Tell us where you're thinking here right now as we speak. Gold's under 1800. It's kind of caught in a range now. Will it break out? Silver, on the other hand, you know, it's just below 26. Where is it going to go from here? Both metals were trending higher on Wednesday, and then later on in the session got knocked down. So tell me your thoughts. Email is kl@carrielutz.com. Right now, our good friend Jordan Roy Byrne is with us, and you know him well from the Daily Gold. And Jordan, it's great to have you back on. So were you taken aback by the recent gold decline in silver?
Hey, Gary. I think the severity of the sell-off, yes, but not specifically the decline. I mean, I was looking for gold to, I mean, earlier this year, my thinking was it's going to rebound and then it's going to grind for the rest of the year. I thought it would rebound to 1850 at best. I mean, I was wrong. It got all the way to 1900, but there's a lot of resistance there on the chart. And then you look at silver. Silver couldn't break out. And then also around the same time, you know, the dollar was holding support. It hadn't rebounded yet, but it was for several weeks, it was holding above that 88, 89 level. So, you could see the potential for the dollar to catch a bid and precious metals to fall back. I mean, I think silver has kind of been during the correction. Silver has been leading. So when it failed to break out multiple times, that was a signal that we were going to see, another like lower in the sector. But I mean, big picture, Kerry, gold, we have this cup and handle pattern that dates back now 10 years. I mean, the cup, I think, is about 9 years. And, you know, we're building the handle consolidation on the cup and handle pattern. So very big picture. This is a very bullish pattern. But this handle, I mean, we're only 10 months into that. Well, I mean, almost 11 months into it. But I'm not predicting it's going to take 3 years to play out. But, I mean, it could take 2.5, 3 years, 2 years to play out, and the market would still be in this super bullish long-term setup. And gold could even go down to 1575 or 1600, and the handle would still be well intact. So that's the very big picture outlook for the next several years. Nothing has changed. Gold is just building the handle on this super bullish pattern. So that's really the big picture. You know, where I don't know how much longer we have to go in this handle correction or consolidation, whatever you want to call it. But I think we're probably, you know, we're probably at least halfway into it. And I think that, you know, if gold continues lower over the next couple months, it'll probably continue into a significant low at some point.
Hmm. Well, you know, like as usual, we see the market seeking to frustrate the majority of its participants by going in directions that they never anticipated, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, this has to be really frustrating because one thing that's frustrating is if you look at, there was a consolidation 2004 to 2005 and several other consolidations where even though gold didn't, it consolidated for over a year, even though it didn't break out, like it was holding closer to the highs. So this correction, you know, historically I've tried to find something that's similar and I really haven't been able to do so. I mean, I've had to take five or six historical corrections and kind of put them together for an average. And this correction is kind of not perfectly, but it's kind of mirrored that. But so that's what's made it difficult, is that there hasn't been like a perfect or decent or good comparison to this specific correction. Like I said, I mean, in the past, you've had bullish consolidations that have lasted months and months. But this has been different. I mean, it's 10 months in. It doesn't look like it's going to end in a couple months. So it's definitely, like I said, I mean, this could last for another year, 6 months, 9 months. I don't know. That's got to be really frustrating for people. And even though you look at the big picture and gold is set up to make a massive move higher in the next couple of years. So even given that outlook, that probability, in my opinion, that what we're going through now is still very frustrating.
That's for sure. But if we go back to March of, I guess it was 2020, and we had that massive collapse in gold and silver, and then it immediately rebounded back. Is there anything to say that this isn't going to be similar?
Well, I mean, that was similar to the 2008 collapse and rebound. But what happened after we had that huge move higher at the end of 2008 and early 2009, precious metals then consolidated. They corrected. I think gold corrected for about 6 months or so, but the sector was was holding the gains pretty well. I mean, we've held the gains decently, but definitely not as well as we did in the middle of 2009. So yeah, unfortunately there's just not there's not a good comparison. I mean, I did see one analyst, Bob Hoy, and his chart guy. I mean, earlier this year, he was looking at, you know, severe declines in gold and saying gold was following those declines. However, but if gold would, I think if it would rally above 1770, it would invalidate all that. So, I mean, gold did rally well above that point, but now it's selling off again. So, it's frustrating in the sense that there really isn't a good individual comparison to what it's doing now.
Yeah, and we, you know, the future is always uncertain, as a wise man once said. All right, so like, let's look at cryptos. So gold and silver haven't declined anywhere near what the crypto market has. I mean, we've seen a 50% pullback, and it's making lower highs and lower lows. Seems like cryptos are really in a decline here. So maybe precious metals aren't so bad after all.
Yeah, I mean, I've done a few videos on crypto in the last couple months. And, you know, Bitcoin, as you know, it was completing this really bearish looking top. And you don't know for certain if it's going to break below or continue higher. But it did break. I mean, just anecdotally, the sentiment, you know, the Bitcoin conference you were talking about is in Miami. I mean, there's some interesting videos of the characters coming out of that. You know, and then you had celebrities touting, you know, Mark Cuban, Tom Brady, you know, touting these altcoins that were going crazy. I mean, this was just reminiscent of the dot-com bust. I mean, it was just these things were just screaming sell. Now, with that being said, as far as Bitcoin, I mean, I think it could be where gold was in 2013, maybe early 2013. I don't want to say it's completely dead, but I think it's going to be dead money for at least 2, 3, maybe 4 years. But, you know, the good thing for us gold bugs and precious metals guys is I think we're going to, you know, people are going to realize Bitcoin is not a substitute for gold and precious metals. And if you look at, or that Bitcoin, you know, would replace gold as a currency. I mean, if you look at when Bitcoin has performed the best, Carrie, like let's go back, okay, 2013, 2017, 2020 to 2021. These are three, like when Bitcoin was performing the best, that's when the stock market was ripping higher. So Bitcoin, like I used to think, okay, this is kind of it's a combination of a currency and a tech stock. But no, it's really 100% a tech stock. That's how it's been acting. And it's also been, you know, it would kind of perform, like Bitcoin would really move like a year or two after gold did, you know, gold moved huge 2010, 2011, then Bitcoin, I think in 2013, that was a couple years later. You know, gold had the huge move in 2016, then Bitcoin in 2017, you know, gold had the huge rebound in after the spring of 2020. And then, you know, Bitcoin, I can't recall when it broke out, maybe 6 months or 9 months after that. So Bitcoin has kind of been lagging gold historically. So, I mean, I think crypto, I mean, it's going to be dead for a while now, and that hopefully will help gold to some degree. I mean, gold in its correction right now is, you know, it's not going to be impacted or hurt by the weakness in crypto.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, well, the thing that was interesting is that Bitcoin became worth over $1 trillion. I think it maybe was $2 trillion. The whole crypto market became worth $2 trillion. It was worth more than the entire amount of currency in circulation, U.S. currency. And that was, again, there were so many signs. There were more red flags for cryptos than a May Day parade in China.
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Arcana Corporation is on the verge of bringing the world's highest grade silver mine into production. The Revenue Virginius mine in Colorado has proven improbable silver reserves grading nearly 37 ounces per ton silver with an all-in sustaining production cost of only US $8 per ounce of silver. The mine is fully permitted with infrastructure already in place, and the company has announced they plan to commence production in 2020. Achieving successful production usually results in a significant upward share price re-rating on the Lassonde curve. Arcana trades under the ticker AUN in Toronto and AUNFF in New York. To learn more, go to arcana.com. That's AURCANA.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. I mean, remember these, well, they still have them on Twitter, but these people with the laser eyes in their profile. I mean, that's the sell signal.
Yeah, they were more like, what do you call those characters, those non-playable characters as NPCs? That's what the crypto crowd turned into, and they got, like, really nasty when you say that Bitcoin looks like it's trending, looks like it's peaking, probably going to go lower. And they say, you just don't understand cryptos. You know, I'm sure you got those kind of flames yourself, right?
Yeah, even in recent days. I mean, I saw, you know, not to throw barbs at Kitco, but they had some guy on who had, I don't know if he's a technical analyst, but they had a chart and he was claiming it was going to go to 80. It could go to 80,000 this year. I mean, I'm thinking, okay, basic technical analysis. This thing has completed a massive top. You know, all the, we were talking about all the sentiment signs were there. I mean, there's no logical reason why there's no reason whatsoever why this could go to 80,000 this year. I mean, it's just totally ridiculous. I can't believe Kitco would even interview someone like that. It's just completely ridiculous.
No. Hey, well, there's a certain analyst out there who, a purported analyst who I no longer interview, who's called about 20 of the last two increases in precious metals prices and in silver. So these people just come out of the woodwork and look, it's media. You want eyeballs, you want clicks. And with that kind of statement, you're going to get it. And maybe at 65,000, it was a lot more likely. But right now, at trading half that, hey, you just don't know because the sentiment could change. Can you tie this into what's happened with these meme stocks like the GameStops, AMC's, Koss Corporation? That, do you see a correlation between it?
I don't know if I see a correlation. I mean, I guess it all falls under the huge amount of speculation that occurred. You know, the catalyst for that was obviously the lockdowns and COVID and people having to stay at home and, you know, a lot of people getting money from the government. I think that ties in with all the speculation in crypto. But, like, I just want to go back for a second and, you know, because you mentioned we're talking about these ridiculous calls. It just, for the listeners, it's just something you have to understand. A lot of these people, like, that's their brand. You know, these people who are always bearish on gold, or they're always calling for the dollar to rally, or we're going to have a massive collapse. That's their brand. Like, that's how they make money. You know, people who are saying silver is going to go to 5,000 and, you know, gold's going to go to 25,000. that's their brand. Like, that's how they make money. Like, that's how they get known. Like, there's no analysis behind any of that. And, you know, it's the same thing if I said, you know, Bitcoin's going to go to zero. You know, I mean, that's like, I don't think it's going to go to zero, but that if you hear people saying that, like, that would be their brand is just to crap all over crypto and Bitcoin, basically. So I guess, you know, I love studying market psychology, sentiment and marketing. And so branding is something I'm learning about. And that's, you know, and I'm fascinated by that. And you can just see it in the business that we're in the industry of, you know, pundits making these prediction. First of all, predictions are kind of ridiculous. I mean, you have to focus on probabilities. But again, just to circle back, a lot of the, you know, you have to focus more on analysis and probabilities, what's reasonable, because just a lot of these predictions and comments out there, people are just promoting their own brand. I mean, that's how they make money. That's what Harry Dent makes money, by touting deflation. You know,
a stop clock, you know, is always right twice a day. You know, it's interesting when you talk about branding. It reminds me of Jean Dixon. She was a psychic from the 60s, and she would make 2,000 predictions a day. And some of them were, just by the law of averages, bound to come true. And she made one, and this is where she cut her teeth, that President Kennedy was going to be assassinated. And she, like, flew off to Dallas to try to stop him from going on the parade. And she just happened to be right that one time. And then she became like a guru, and people would read her column and everything else. And then, like Maria Bartiromo, she called the 87 crash. That was her thing. And her reasoning might have been good, but she parlayed that into a brand. And now she doesn't make predictions because she doesn't need to, because she's making millions of dollars as a reporter, as a commentator on CNBC, right? So you can make a couple of these calls. If that guy was right at 80,000, he could pretty much write his own ticket. Us calling it on the downside, though, and doing so several months before it happened, we just don't understand Bitcoin.
That's true. And I think there was a guy. Do you remember Joe Granville? I think he was.
Oh, yeah. The market used to respond when he would call the interest rates and declines and everything else. Another guy like that.
And I think he was, you know, the market had that huge breakout in 1982. And I think he was still bearish on it. I think that's kind of how he lost his mojo, or at least his following, after, you know, making many correct predictions and moving the market. So I guess that's just the takeaway, is, you know, a lot of these predictions are just for entertainment purposes, but you got to focus on probabilities and the analysis. And that's, you know, I don't.
And the charts.
And the charts. And all of that. And so I can't predict where gold's going to go, but I just think the probability is that it's not going to break out this year. However, you know, taking the bird's eye view and stepping back, this is a super bullish cup and handle pattern. The probability is in 2, 3, 4 years, it's going to be substantially higher, $3,000, maybe $4,000. But I'm not predicting that's going to happen in 6 months or 12 months or 2 years. It's just, that's the, as far as I see the probability. I could be wrong about it, but I mean, that's just my, I know it sounds like a prediction, but I'm just, everything I'm looking at, I think that's the probability. And it's the same thing for silver. I see silver moving a lot higher. I mean, silver could go down to 22 carry and it would still be in a very bullish consolidation. I mean, that sounds horrible to the silver bugs, but silver has been holding the majority of that huge move it made last year. I mean, this is a bullish consolidation in silver. As long as it holds above 22, so it has a lot of room to fall and still be okay. And so when we, as investors, when we settle back, we kind of focus on things like this that are supported by at least some facts and some probability, you're going to be better off. You know, try and avoid following the people who are saying, you know, silver is going to go to 5 or silver is going to go to 5,000. That's not going to help you make money.
Agreed. You know, there's a saying in Wall Street, you can predict the price of something, or you can predict the time. But when you do both, that's when it's the most dangerous. So best we could do is an educated guess. And of course, there's plenty of plenty of room to be wrong on the downside and the upside. We can make a guess. But you, one thing you know, all right, maybe you can't guess when something is going to go up, how high it's going to go, but tops are much, much, they're just a lot easier when you see that parabolic move, just like copper. You know, copper hit all-time highs. Now it's pulled back because it was getting to be a parabolic move. When you see that parabolic chart, you just know exactly what's going to happen, and it's easier to guess. But when something is in a trendless kind of sideways channel, that's when it's most difficult to guess when and what the price is going to be. And I think we'll leave it at that. So just tell us where to find you and how to subscribe to The Daily Gold, okay?
You can find me at thedailygold.com. I give away a lot of free info, so get on my email list there. And there should be a link to the premium. I think it's in the upper right of the menu. That's how you can subscribe.
All right. Hey, well, there's a link to it in the show notes to this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Make sure that you sign up for a free newsletter. Got one coming out as soon as I get back home next Monday, I promise. And send me your emails. If you got a question for Jordan, just send it to kl@kerrylutz.com. We'll forward it off to him. Jordan, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you, Kerry. It was a real pleasure to be on with you today.
Thanks for listening to Kerry Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.